This is Carl Johnson with another essay from the back page. There are few responsibilities that present a greater challenge or offer a greater opportunity to a preacher than to be called to conduct a funeral. In times of sorrow and loss, many people look to God and are more open to Him than any other time in their lives. When a funeral service is conducted correctly, the preacher becomes an instrument for bringing God and people together. And I've learned through the years that a funeral service provides an opportunity to accomplish three important things. First, it is an opportunity to heal the brokenhearted, which was an important part of Jesus' ministry and should be an important part of ours, Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. I've often felt that a preacher has a twofold task when conducting a funeral, to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians concerning death, the second coming of Christ, and the resurrection, he concludes his teaching at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18 with the words, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Funerals are important because they provide an opportunity to give comfort to the living. The funeral also gives the preacher the opportunity to proclaim the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. For most preachers, the funeral service provides an opportunity for presenting the gospel to more lost people than we will find in any other venue. Rightly conducted, the service becomes an opportunity for both sowing and reaping. The funeral also gives the preacher the opportunity to honor the dead and to affirm the value of life. The Bible says that we are made in the likeness of God, and that fact alone gives dignity and worth to every person. Therefore, a eulogy is included in the funeral service, which allows the preacher to give specific honor to the deceased. Abraham's lament over Sarah in Genesis 23 and verse 2, and David's lament over Saul and Jonathan in 2 Samuel 1 verses 17 through 27, are two of the best known examples of eulogies in the Bible. Some people think that a eulogy should be an objective summary of the entire life of a deceased loved one. Others think that the eulogy should speak for everyone who is present at the funeral. But both of these assumptions are unrealistic. A eulogy is much simpler. It should convey the feelings and the expressions of the person giving the eulogy. The most touching and meaningful eulogies come from the heart, and a few well-chosen personal remarks can transform a cold, formal message into a warm, personal word of comfort and hope. When Thomas Campbell died in 1854 at the age of 90, his son Alexander Campbell offered this eulogy. "I never knew a man in all my acquaintance of men of whom it could be said with more assurance that he walked with God." Jacob Creath, Jr. was called the Iron Duke of Wellington of the American Restoration Movement because of his firm inflexibility of purpose. He could not be bought or sold, and consequently when he died in 1886, John Rowe observed, "He was of such stuff as martyrs are made." Another contemporary said, "There are but two things that can make me cry. One is shaving with a dull razor. The other is hearing Jacob Creath, Jr. preach." Alan Wright, a preacher from Missouri, died in 1860, and the following is a vignette from an amazing eulogy of Wright written by Moses Lard. "He was plain in his look, plain in his talk, plain at home, plain abroad, plain in the pulpit, plain out of it, plain always, plain everywhere. His love of the plain and his constant exemplification of it commended and endeared him to the common people of the country where he traveled." T.B. Larimore of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, died in 1929, and T.W. Caskey said of Larimore, "He had the mind of a philosopher, the heart of a woman, and the innocence of a little child." Another observer said, "There was an indescribable pathos in his voice and his general appearance that melted audiences to tears and moved hearts long hardened by sin to repentance at the appeal of the gospel." H. Leo Bowles offered these words, "In a few things he excelled most men, and in many other things he was their peer. The world is better and happier because T.B. Larimore lived in it." You may have never heard of the men mentioned before, but In the words of these brief eulogies, sometimes reverential, sometimes humorous, always poignant, you can see the vulnerabilities and nuances of character that are often hidden from the spotlight and the true personalities behind the names. You may never be called upon to write and deliver a eulogy for another person, but the truth is that each of us is writing our own eulogy by the way we live our lives each day. What will men say about you when you die? We will not hear the eulogies of men, but we shall hear the Lord's appraisal. And we should live our lives in such a way that the Lord will eulogize us, as is mentioned in Matthew 25 and verse 21, as a good and faithful servant who deserves to enter into the joys of the Lord.